Welcome to the Man in the Pew Show, brought to you by maninthepew.com. This is the show for men and by men who want to follow Jesus every day, at work, at home, at church, and at play. Now here's this week's episode. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Phil Mershon, and this week we'll be talking about how to let your light shine. But before I tell you more about today's show, a couple of reminders. If you need prayer or have an idea for a future guest, please reach out to me at phil@maninthepew.com. And if you find this episode helpful, will you do your friends a favor and share it with them? We provide all the links at maninthepew.com, and this episode is number 33, so you can find those show notes at maninthepew.com/033. I'd also love it if you'd give us a rating and review on iTunes if you've not done so before. That'll help other men discover this show. Well, in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9, Paul is talking to us about this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And he says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." This is good news for us, brothers. If Christ who lives in you, the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, then we indeed have the spirit of God living inside of us. And that is great news. So go into this day with the news that the Spirit of God is alive in you and can help you conquer that battle that we probably all face, if we're honest with ourselves, with the flesh. It's a real battle. Some days we might not do as well as others, but the Spirit of God is in us. And if we will only listen to the Spirit, tap into the Spirit, he will breathe life into us and give us the ability to overcome those temptations as they face us, and to listen to his voice and promptings. And that's what we're going to be talking about today with Ramon Ray, is we're going to be talking about how do we listen to the Spirit's voice and let the Spirit shine through us in our work so that the gospel might go forward and help those that are around us. So let's transition over to this week's interview with Ramon Ray. I am very happy to be here today with Ramon Ray. If you don't know who Ramon is, he is an entrepreneur, a global speaker, and he had the privilege of authoring a book with Facebook called Facebook, A Guide to Small Business Marketing. Ramon, welcome to the show.
Phil, thank you so much. I'm ecstatic to be here and talk with you as well. God bless, man.
Yeah, well, I'm encouraged to hear your story. And like I told you, we always start with your baseball card stats. So how long you been married? How many kids do you have? And just a little bit more about what you do.
Absolutely. I've been married for over 20 years and to an amazing woman who I met and married in Brooklyn, New York. And I have two kids, both are older kids, and that's pretty much about me as a family. I live on the East Coast, so where we get snow and we have long highways, for those of you who live more in the Midwest. And I love speaking around the world, love helping small businesses. It's my passion, Phil, and maybe like you and some of your listeners, I'm in front of a computer about 26 hours. Well, I guess it can't be 26, Phil, so we'll make it 24 hours out of the day. Beyond weekends and some other things. So that's pretty much my world, man.
It does feel like 26 hours a day some days, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Cool. The next thing I'd like to ask you, Ramon, is something about your faith story. And I know you've had a pretty dramatic, I don't know if you want to call it a reconversion, but definitely a transformational moment in your faith. So give us a little bit of a sense of your faith story, but specifically focusing on that moment that I think you said happened just like 4 or 5 years ago.
Absolutely. And it's funny you said that reconversion. I always wonder, I'm going to have to ask somebody, or maybe we can have a vote on it or something. What do you call it after I tell you what happened to me? You know, I'm wondering, did I
Yeah, I can't be reconverted, but let's just go with the story.
I love it. Yeah. So as you know, Phil, we've talked about, you know, I'm a son of a preacher. So from an early age, I've been in church for most of my life, meaning those of you who are preachers' kids, in church, around church, Bible study, prayer meetings, all those things that preachers' kids do, vacuuming the church, and you're the one who empties the trash cans and on and on and on. So I've been around church for a long time. And indeed, Phil, you know, I have given my life to Christ a few times over those years. So it's no doubt that for much of my life, I have been a Christian in some way, shape, or form, knowing about worship, reading the Bible, and all those things. But it was only until recently, Phil, and as you said, that's probably about 3-4 years ago, that I really experienced Christ in a real, genuine way. And I identify myself. I raise my hand, Phil, and I vote. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Where in fact, Phil, I can tell others about Jesus, you know, because before, prior to that, I couldn't because he wasn't real to me. And the experience that happened, you know, I have children, many listening have children, the guys and ladies listening to us. And my son, you know, he decided as he got older that Christ was not for him. And this just happened, as I said, just recently. And that was a breaking point for me, Phil. I really had to decide, you know, we can go as deep into it as you want. But to highlight again, my son just made a decision, Dad, Christ is not for me. And that was a series of events where he went on his own. We're still in touch. I'm thankful to say that we still love each other. We talk, but he's living a different life than I support. So point being is that I had to make a decision. I'm a son of a preacher, been going to church, trying to be the best example of a father as I can be as a Christian, as it were. Now my son's not there. You know, my kids are older. So I can kind of go off, Phil, and not live this life, not be the example I've been being, because, you know, who cares about my wife, right? That's another story. She's a grown woman. She's following Christ. But the point is, Phil, I didn't make that decision. I made the decision to follow Christ, and I really had to sit, think, is Jesus real? Is the Bible real? Is what I've been taught all the years, what I've been teaching my son, is this real, Phil? And to come to a point, to close that part out, I decided to follow Christ. I must say, Phil, not decided only, I experienced Jesus. He met me in some way. And for the last 3 to 4 years, I am a dedicated follower, I can say, unashamed of Jesus Christ. So that's if I said that, I hope cohesively, that's my story.
Yeah, and that's definitely a profound example of Jesus becoming real to you. Was that you were sitting and praying and all of a sudden he overcame you and, you know, you experienced something you never experienced, or was this something that was progressing over a period of time as you were wrestling with these questions that you mentioned?
Great question, Phil. As I recall, I mean, I'm sure there were seeds planted over the years, you know, seeds you don't even know are planted, et cetera, which God has kept me over the years, why I haven't gone too far away from him. But really, it probably was a matter of hours, give or take. I recall one particular point, me sitting and literally, Phil, thinking like I would do about Twitter or the other things that we do in our worlds. I thought, okay, is God real? Da, 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 da. I had to think of a series of things. Then I thought, if God's real, hell or heaven, da, 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 da. Bible, is it real? Da, da, da. You know, so I really had to go through with that. And I said, you know what? This has to be real. And also my father, Phil, he passed away 20 years ago and he meant a lot to me and how he passed away and other things. So all those things kind of came to an head, a good explosion as it were, where, yeah, and you could help me bring this out better. I guess my mind, my heart, my spirit came together. And it wasn't, you know, I guess it was a soft thing, not like a Nikki Cruz maybe or some famous, I was crying and wailing on the floor. But I just maybe felt the love of God. Maybe that's what it was. And just his mercy where kind of click, this is for me. And Lord, I rededicate myself to you. And the result of that, Phil, if it helps crystallize it, I now love reading the Bible. I love prayer. People have come to me and said, Ramon, you know, I'm going through this or that problem when it's appropriate, meaning, you know, as we've talked earlier, I don't ram the Bible down people. I'm a chillest guy in the world. But if I have an opening, I'll say, well, here's what happened to me. Here's why I believe in Jesus. So that's been the result of that experience.
Well, you were telling me that Romans 8 has been a very important part of your story. And verse 15 maybe sheds light. Actually, it's probably verse 16, where it says in 15, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And then in verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And yes. I wonder if that's what was happening, is that deep inside you, you all of a sudden knew in a way you never understood before, I'm God's. He did all this for me. it's not just real to my mind, but it's real to my life, and I can't escape this. Is that something like it?
Phil, I think so, absolutely. And again, another example, not to go too deep off the reservation, you can pull me back. But, you know, like the son of a queen or son of a king, they're just chilling, walking along, playing in the dirt. I'm making it up, but I think you know where I'm going. And then kind of somebody slaps them or they get kicked or they're like, wait a minute, hold up here. I'm the son of a king. Aha! Let me brush my teeth and put on the kingly clothes. So, yes, as you so well, you know, illustrated in that scripture, I think that's the experience, is that it just hit me, here's who I am, and here's what Christ means. So, and I thank God, it's really his mercies, Phil, as you know, it wasn't me per se, but God met me at the right time, or I met him, however that goes.
So I'm going to guess that there's someone listening right now who has something like this happening, where a member of the family has rejected the faith, and they've, you know, maybe been going along in the waves, the fumes, the wake, if you will, of their parents or somebody else's faith, and it hasn't been really their personal faith. What would be your words of encouragement to someone who's sitting in that place right now? Or I bet all of us know someone, if it's not us, who is in that place. What should we say? How can we encourage someone like that?
That's a great question, Phil. So first I'll talk to the person who is a follower of Christ and they have other people in their world who's not quite on board but knows, you know, like in who's been in my experience. Biggest thing I would say, but pray that God gives you wisdom how to do for that case, is don't push Jesus to them. When you see them at the family picnic, when they come to work, hey, Phil, here's a Bible. Read it, man. you're going to hell. You know, don't be the person they don't want to see in the morning. It's okay to say good morning. You can talk about the weather, talk about sports. Just be a nice, normal person. Because I think in my son's case, I'm happy, Phil, that at least we have the relationship, as some people don't. So that's point number one for those who are Christians, ministering to someone who's away. Don't just push and ram and be annoying. Point two, definitely pray for them. I think point three, the last point on that, Phil, I'd say is listen to the voice of God for the small openings. Maybe they're going through a tough time. Maybe they're going through this, through that, whatever, where you can say, hey, listen, you know, I know you know this already, but let me just share with you. Here's what happened to me in that case and why God helped me. Or I know you know what John so-and-so says. Let me just share that with you again. Feel free to chew on this. Now let's go play rugby or let's go play soccer. So that's for the person ministering. For the one who's away from God listening to us, Phil, what I would say is, if you even have an inkling that this could be true, at least just keep reading your Bible. Make it just like you may do push-ups, which I do 65 or so, Phil, every morning, 65 or 70. Just like you may discipline yourself to do these things, just at least read the Bible. Sit quietly. Maybe you can't pray. Maybe you're not feeling God. At least give him the chance to speak to you by saying, God, I'm going through this trial. I don't know if you're there or not. But as Phil and Ramon said, I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Sit quietly before I get on the train. Sit quietly before I go to work. So that's what I'd say, Philip, that's helpful for someone listening.
Was it Romans 8 that you went to first, or has that been somewhere that this whole process led you to eventually? Because I'm wondering what scripture you might encourage someone to go through to if they're in this place of questioning and wondering and doubting.
Yeah, I think so, Phil. I mean, Romans 8 is in there, and for me, 15 and 16 is the part that Revelation happened, but I think Romans 8, verse 5 onward talks about living in the Spirit. That's been the catalyst and anger for me as a man of God who's walking in this world. But Phil, ironically, it was Genesis that I think was a catalyst to start the spark. And here's what I mean. When I also, as I recall, talking to you today, Phil, helps bring out my experience, thinking about creation, and I fly quite a bit as you do, I think, on occasion or a lot. When I thought about the clouds, the stars, the moon, I said, I cannot not believe there's a God. And that's what started for me to think, if there's a God of supreme being, then there has to be a right or wrong. There has to be consequences. There has to be a heaven. So if the Bible is historically true, Jesus has to be real. Let me give him a chance and get on board for the opportunity to follow him. Does that make sense, Phil?
Totally, totally. And I think it's great news that God meets us right where we are and the things we're experiencing. But starting in the beginning is a fantastic place to go. And whether that's Genesis or flipping to the New Testament and going to John. I know for me, even I haven't been going through doubts, but Romans 6 through 8 recently has been very encouraging to me. as we all probably have experienced seasons where you see the battle between flesh and spirit. And Paul's words of describing that battle and describing what we've been saved from and describing what we're being saved to, and what the role of the Holy Spirit in this and the real battle that takes place, has been incredibly encouraging to me on a deeper level. In fact, so much so that I am determining here on the air right now, I'm going to say it, I want to memorize this. This isn't stuff that's lightweight, you know, and I'll confess, there was a long period of time in my life where Romans scared me because I was an economist. I was into math and music. I was not a philosopher type. I was not someone who liked to study the deep-hearted things. I still don't enjoy those debates, I'll be honest with you. But God has continually gripped me over a long period of time and made me more comfortable talking about and wrestling with some of these finer things. But he is doing it at a heart level right now and not just at a mind level. And I think that's something that you are describing happened for you as well.
Absolutely. And Phil, if I can add one thing, what you said, I bet you want to memorize it. That's another thing for those who are active Christians. Another thing I've only recently been doing, Phil, and again, half the audience listening, well, Ramon, that's table stakes for me. You know, being a quote-unquote newer Christian, I've been taking notes in Bible studies and church and other occasions, taking notes to have it, the word, deeper in my heart. And I've been writing notes as I've been reading the Bible. What is God speaking to me? Phil, my handwriting is chicken scratch. I probably can't read it after a year or understand it. But I've been writing down the notes just because I want to understand it deeper. So that's another thing right there, just not only just reading it, but digesting it. And I must say, Phil, you know what I do outside of this conversation, just like I would do for my regular day-to-day work. I digest it. I want to be better at what I do. As a Christian, I want to be a quote-unquote better Christian as well, and a student of God's Word.
You know, and there's something that's been hitting me recently. When I hear a podcast like this, when I hear a sermon at church or somebody else's podcast, or have a conversation like we're having. If we were sitting having coffee right now, it'd be the same way. What's my intention? What's my plan as a result of something that got pricked in this moment? Because I think I've become convinced that I don't do anything about most things that I hear, read, or see. It just we've become trained in our modern day to let things just kind of pass through our eyes to our mind and just go on out. We have filters up and we have become numb to action, I think. I know I have. And I want to become more intentional about taking action on something that I know God has said to me. Or, you know, if it's a podcast about marketing, what's something I need to go do? Not just, okay, that was, you know, that titillated my mind in some interesting way. But no, what is there something I need to go do differently? Something I need to stop doing? And I would encourage you guys, if you're hearing this right now, whether it's going and doing 65 push-ups, by the way, that's a goal for me. 25 is where I'm at right now. But more importantly, is it memorizing a verse or a whole chapter or maybe an entire book? Or maybe it's actually just doing the intentional thing like Ramon's saying of, I hear a message, I read a scripture, and I go write something down and get to the point of action at some point. But at some point, it's also good just to sit with the thoughts, because the thoughts change the way you see things.
Absolutely, Phil. I mean, that is so powerful. And I know one thing God's speaking to me is that I haven't shared this, I think, with actually anybody, Phil, except one person, and that was just a few hours ago. I have always been crying out to God to give, surround me with men of God who can mentor me and help me and pray with me. And we have some of those things in our church, but every church is different. But that's one thing I have a need. Part of it, maybe, Phil, because my father died, you know, and so I kind of missed that. Me and him had a very bad relationship. Nothing wrong with him. It was my rebellion. So only when I was older did it kind of come together and he died. Point being, Phil, is that this is maybe cause that father figure wanting more in my life. God has shown me recently, Phil, going back to taking action, he said, Ramon, even though you may not have that in your life today, I want you to look for other young men who you can mentor and be with. It may sound small to other people, but to me, it's profound, Phil, because for years I've been complaining to God. I've been wanting it. Why can't I go to have a hamburger with some older, you know, 70-year-old man of God? And God showed me, Ramon, you know, you're kind of an older guy. I'm not 70, Phil, an older guy. Go have have lunch with a 25-year-old, 20-year-old and mentor him. So that's something that I've been doing recently that God's showing me, going back to action. That's my action, Phil.
So I got an email, I think it was today or yesterday, from Dan Miller. I don't know if you know Dan. He was one of the early guests on this show. And I don't remember the name of the article, but the opening picture is a picture of this really nice car. I mean, mm-hmm. super nice. And a little boy, probably like 5 or 6, walks up to it and is admiring the car. And the owner of the car walks up behind him and says, "Do you like the car?" And the boy said, "Oh my gosh, it's amazing." He's probably older than 5 or 6. He probably was 10 or 12, old enough to appreciate a good car, but not old enough to drive it. And the man says, "Well, that car was given to me by my brother." And the boy's like, "Your brother gave that car to you?" And the man said something like, "Isn't that amazing that someone would be willing to give such a nice gift?" And the boy looks at him, and you would expect him to say, "Boy, I wish I had a brother like that." But what the boy said, and to the point of our conversation, is, "I want to be a brother like that."
Wow. Wow. And that's a surprising response.
Yeah, a surprising response. And I think to the heart of our culture is, I think we are trained to want to receive. We're trained to want to, you know, give me this, give me that. Even, you know, I'm in my 50s and there's still times when I want people to pour into me instead of to give what I have away to others. And certainly this podcast is a part of a desire to want to give away. So I think it's a great example of the mindset we can have. It, you know, it is an epic response, and it reminds me, right after college, I was on a retreat for the singles ministry in our church, and the pastor was talking, and he was giving a series of messages on the life of Peter. He called it Rocky 1, 2, 3, and 4, because the Rocky movies were popular at the time, and he got to Rocky 4, and this is the story of Peter and Jesus on the beach after Jesus, you know, has risen and he's walking around with the disciples for the 50 mm-hmm. days after his resurrection. And he takes Peter aside and says, "Peter, do you love me?" And mm-hmm. he says, "Of course I love you." You know, and that whole exchange. And at the end of it, he says, "Feed my sheep." Well, the pastor turns the story on its head and looks at us and says, "There's some of you out here who've been around the church your whole life, and you've been sitting on the bench, you've been eating the food, enjoying the party. It's time for you to get into the game."
Mm.
And you know, he didn't look at me, but I felt the Spirit look at me. And I knew the kick from the coach was on my pants, and I needed to get off the bench and get into the game, and I needed to start giving like that boy, to become the brother who gives as opposed to the brother who receives. And you know, I think if a lot more of us in the church were like that, man, mm-hmm. the church would be a great place. And to the point of what I know we wanted to talk about in this conversation, which is, how does this all translate? How does this faith that's become real to you translate to the way that we shine, the way that we let the love of Christ come out, ooze out, right, if you will, in this digital workplace that you and I both work in? And I know that's something that's really, you're really passionate about.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think, Phil, listen, I think it translates. It's a great segue. Now, I just want to add one quick thing, even going back to inside the church chair ministry. I'm not sure it is in your church or other churches. In my church, say you have 500 people, let's say, the same 2 or 3 guys do the churches. I mean, every church is different, but it's, you know, wonder why more people are not even doing that. But to get back to your point, Phil, I think really it's a given that many people and most people are decent people, Christian or not. Let's take that for granted. You know, let's start there. But as Christians, Phil, I think it's our duty, our obligation. We should be the most empathetic. We should be the most giving. We should be the ones who smile the most. We should be the ones who hold the door the most. I can go on and on and on. That's what Jesus said. Be the light. And Phil, I find that the more and more there's darkness, then more and more there's a need for light, and the more that light could shine. So I think as Christians, I know, Phil, for me, It's now, it's thanks by the grace of God, it's becoming a natural part of my life. But just being aware and letting people know that there's probably something a bit different than this guy, besides the fact that people think Ramon's crazy because of how I am. But I want them to think, maybe he's a Christian. And that's happening more and more. Not all the time, of course, Phil, you know, but it's just I'm seeing more and more. Like I mentioned to you before, a friend of mine, she said, Ramon, I'm going through some difficulty. What do you suggest? Why did she see that? Because she knows there's something different about Ramon that he can offer beyond just, you know, social media or digital marketing, or whatever, but something deeper, something for the soul.
So what are some ways practically that you have found you can talk about Christ or at least demonstrate the love of Christ without, you know, always mentioning his name that get people asking you that, you know, what's different about you? They're probably not coming up and saying, are you a Christian? But they probably are coming up to you and saying, there's something different about you. What is it that makes you so contagious? And it's not just this, you know, innate enthusiasm, but there's something deeper than that. What are some things you do that you found start those conversations or open you up to those conversations?
Absolutely. And I must say, Phil, most of the time it's not intentional, like, let me do this, put on my Christian mask. But because Christ living inside of me, you and many of those listening, it does come out quite natural. So sometimes, Phil, it's a natural thing like, God bless you. It's just, if part of me, I'm leaving the Uber cab. Thank you, miss. God bless you. Or coming in. You know, so that's one way. Oftentimes, I talk much about how I'm blessed. And that is a trigger word even for those of us who know Christ. And those who don't, it's often an opening, just even from stage, ladies and gentlemen, Ramon Ray, blah, 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 and talk about how blessed I was to testify to Congress last year. And I think even though these fall in the norm, Phil, I would say combined with what I just said, for example, I have a habit, Phil, of carrying an extra $5 with me before Uber added its tipping system in the app. That sometimes is an opener. The Uber driver, oh my God, thank you. People don't tip nowadays. Well, it's all right, and God bless. And you know what I mean? So I think the combination, Phil, of the more overt things we can do as Christians, our language and how we move, combined with just generally being nice people, that's going to be a harbinger for people to see something's different about this person.
I love the fact that you found some ways that are natural to you to just start conversations, you know. Being one who tips, that's something we all can think about a little bit differently. You know, instead of being the miser, being the one who blesses others, and it may or may not open the door to talk about Christ, but you are blessing someone, whether that happens or not. I was at a conference earlier this week, and one of the speakers had us gaze for 7 seconds into somebody else's eyes. And because of that experience, and the point of the experience was totally different than our conversation right now, but it was showing how hard it is to look at somebody else for that long. We don't do that very well. Our eyes flit. We're not able to stay focused. But what it caused me to do is linger longer when I talk to someone, when I greet them. Like I was on an airplane 6 times this week. And
six times, Phil.
Well, 6 different airplanes.
I understand what you mean. I hear you.
And so, you know, looking at the stewardesses or the steward and just looking at them in the eye and thanking them and greeting them, it totally changed them. You know, a lot of times I wait for others to respond to me before I smile, but I said, I'm gonna be the one who blesses in these circumstances. But it's kind of anticipating what are ways that I can allow the love of Christ to shine through me. And more than anything, what you said I love is to pray. You know, pray that God will give you sensitivity in the moment to talk, but then the rest of the time, it's how we conduct ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. And Phil, it's funny, today, just so, you know, as we're speaking, Phil, today, I'm driving to a youth camp in Pennsylvania, and you have to do this carefully, you know, so people don't think you're doing for some nefarious reason, but I turned around and just asked the guy behind me, so how was...
We apologize for this short drop in the audio. Back to the interview with Ramon Ray. So you were talking about being on the train, I think, and turning around to the guy behind you?
Starbucks, yes. Yeah, so I was
Starbucks, okay.
Same thing happened on the train, but I was at a Starbucks, turned around to the guy behind me and just casually asked him, how was the drive? Because we were in a line at a turnpike rest stop. And that, Phil, opened up a 15-minute conversation just about trucking and et cetera. The point being, that's where you can say, Lord, how can I enter into a conversation about Christ there? So little things like that, combination of being nice, filled with God's Spirit, will open the door to shine the light, to share with people about your faith and more.
I think it's being aware of people and being present in the moment. you know, and certainly you've got, when we're working, we've got to be focused on being productive and getting the things done that we've been hired to do or that we're focused on doing. But even in those moments, we can be aware that the other person that I'm talking to, that I'm working with, is a person going through real life battles and struggles. And ultimately, this is somebody who is also going to sit before Christ and have to answer for their life. And so it's important that we be an agent when God prompts us to be. And so being aware is one part of it. Choosing the way that we're going to live, the words that we use. What are some other things that you found open the door?
Yeah, I think, and I just want to highlight what you said, Phil, I think it was so powerful, being aware. I mean, you're exactly right. I think we're agents of God. That's what we are. But I think also the aspect of empathy, just being aware is part of it, but I just want to highlight it, Phil, because I think it's so powerful. Being empathetic, just understanding, you know, I was talking to my wife about this, and she said, Ramon, somebody was sharing something with me, and I left, I should have gave them a hug. So it goes back to this, as you've said best, Phil, but this is a soul. I'm a Christian. I have salt. I have light. How can I share it? And again, cautioning those listening to me, just my experience, it's not a matter of shoving a tract, shoving a Bible, but as you listen, Phil, as you know, the world around us is full of needy people. People are going through this problem with their wife, with their spouse, with their kids, with their college, with their education. They have no money. They lost their job. They have sicknesses, all kind of things. All those are human experiences, which as Christians, God wants us to be his agents, as you said, to help fill. So that's what I think God's been speaking to me, Phil, just how can I let my light shine? And those of us who are in business and have some a little bit of a public persona, as it were, we have more opportunities sometimes than the average person. So, and you have to do it with tact. You have to do it with Christ's guidance. But boy, there are so many opportunities when you open your eyes and listen to God's voice.
Yeah, I don't want to say this in a way that's going to condemn anyone who's listening, but I think there's an opportunity if we are regularly not just reflecting upon, but memorizing Scripture, that when the Scripture is hidden in our hearts and when we have been doing so daily, weekly, and every year, you know, we could, if we memorized a verse, you know, a week, after 5 years, you'd have 200 verses. That's not, or 250, that's not that many, really, but it would start to ooze out of you in conversations because things would start to connect for you in conversations where you can bring it up casually. I know for myself, I have a tendency to save that for people who I know are safe. You know, people I know are believers. I'm glad to share a scripture with them. But what I hear you saying, and I've been encouraged by other guests, is, hey, this is just part of the way I view the world, you know, and I can talk about King Solomon or King David or the author of Genesis or the words of Christ and say, you know, this gives me courage and hope in a moment like this. You know, Paul's words, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You know, when I'm anxious, I turn to that. Why wouldn't I talk about it? You know, because I think people notice when we're in anxious situations, they're going to notice the way that we're responding. And, you know, I can't manufacture my response to a very anxiety-producing situation, right? But I can cling to my Christ, and people will possibly see it. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. I mean, God's in control of that. I want to respond the way he wants me to and have his Spirit work through me. And by so doing, there may be opportunities to reveal that light to someone who's watching.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think, Phil, it's interesting. I think two things came to mind as you were sharing that. I think one is sometimes you have two amazing points that come into your mind, Phil, and you're like, wait a minute, they just slipped out into the ether. That to me just now. But I think I echo what you're saying. I think the answer is yes. But the 2 points, I had two amazing points, Phil. They were so juicy. They were just like on the tip of my tongue, and I have just blanked out of my 2 points. So
you know,
they just blanked
so out. Good that you're going to have to come back on the show and share them when you remember them.
I will do so.
That's awesome. Well, brother, I want to just give time maybe for one or two more reflections before we turn to spending some time praying for the listeners. Are there any other thoughts that come to mind as you reflect on what it means to shine your light? And, you know, maybe you can reflect back to Ramon 10 years ago where you were more coasting, it sounds like, in your faith. It was, you know, not so intense and real. You know, how could you shine the light to your younger self?
Sure. And Phil, remind me of that question you asked me, because the points came back, and I may share them real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. So I was just going to add, the other thing you're saying, Phil, is going to say that about what you said before, is that the other thing I find, Phil, is that we're able to, as we share with people, to share with people that we are in need as well. I just wanted to add that as well. That's one thing that works for me as well. Let's say I'm sharing with you, Phil, and you stubbed your toe, for example. I'm not going to say, see, Phil, you shouldn't have tripped. How could you stub your toe? You're so clumsy. But the opening happens, Phil, man, you stubbed your toe. Last week, I stubbed my toe too. I wasn't looking where I was going. I hit this thing. It busted open. I put a Band-Aid on it. Man, that's what we're, you know. So sharing with that in that capacity, I find also makes conversations go well. Just wanted to add that as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes you, makes us more authentic and more human. You know, we're relatable when we can relate our own experience to somebody else. We're not just this some holier than thou guy who has their life all figured out. You know, I wrestle just as much as anybody else. I stub my toe frequently. And so I think that's a great point.
Yeah. And to the other point you raised, Phil, as we're, you know, the last point, final point to address, I think the aspect to my younger self, Phil, really is that the what I would tell my younger self is actually a message for the adults that I would say. And it's to my younger self, but as younger people, we often don't know where we're going. 10 years ago, I'm an adult, but let's say to a younger person, I would tell the adults around me, spend as much time with you can or a young people, mentor, discipleship, be their friend. Because I think young people, our younger selves, we're going to go where we want. Most of us, we're going to have sometimes rebellion. But it's the intense planting of seeds, the intense planting of Christ's character around us, the intense just being a friend, I think, Phil, is what keeps us. I'm a sinner. I've been a sinner. I went away from God. But I must say, Phil, what didn't cause me to go farther from God was because I had seeds implanted in me. And that's what I would tell my younger self, but those around me, keep spending time, keep mentoring, take people out to lunch, spend time with them, go bowling, just sit down and listen to them, because the more and more you do that with people around you who are not where you're at, the more you're going to help them come towards Christ.
That's so great. I was listening to the Entre Leadership podcast a couple of weeks ago, and Ken Blanchard, the management guru, was on there talking about mentoring. And, you know, my immediate reaction to something like that is to put my guards up, you know, to be careful with my time, to only invest in people who prove themselves worthy. And there's certainly wisdom in that attitude. You want to invest in someone who's going to respond to what you're teaching them. But then there's another side of, you know what, my younger self, I didn't have my act together. I wasn't that disciplined. I wasn't doing 65 push-ups a day. I'm sorry, I keep going back to that.
Exactly.
But, you know, the spiritual version of that, or the life equivalent of that, I wasn't that disciplined. And yet I am thankful, you know, for the people, the pastors and the business leaders who did choose to invest in me. And we could do the same thing. And it doesn't have to be everyone who asks or everyone we come across, but being intentional and saying, God, who do you want me to? I've only got so many hours in the week. Where should I spend those?
Absolutely. So, Phil, it is so important. I think that the more and more we can do that, you know, as we speak right now, I'm at a camp for young people, and it's just my part, not that I'm anything, but Christ in me allowing me to give back. I've come to this camp as an attendee, for example, exactly what you're saying, and now it's time for me to pick up the trash, set up, share with somebody, and speak. And I think, and going back to how can we live, we men who are, you know, as your podcast, men in the pew, how can we live our lives? How can we shine? I think, Phil, it goes back to not just those inside the church, but the biggest thing I can say is, everybody has a need, people around you, and et cetera. How can Christ work through you to be his agent and fill that need? Not necessarily overtly, as you know, how I roll in life, and it can be in some cases, but really just a gentle support, a gentle hand, an offer, a shoulder of Christ's love. And then the seed's planted and it can go farther.
Amen. I so appreciate that. Ramon, if guys want to learn more about what you're doing in the marketplace, what are the URLs or the social handles you would refer them to?
Absolutely. For smarthustle.com, all things entrepreneurship and small business, check out smarthustle.com. And if anybody wants to know about me and the crazy things I do during the week and on, check out Ramon Ray, R-A-M-O-N, ramonray.com.
perfect. And I know all your social handles are there. I'll provide those in the show notes. And guys, this has been episode number 33 of Man in the Pew. So you can find those show notes at maninthepew.com/033. And please share this with any friends who you might think would benefit from hearing the wisdom and the nuggets that Ramon and I have been sharing through this episode. So Ramon, as I told you, we like to close the show out with prayer. So I'd like you to start and just pray for the guys listening and pray for me and yourself that we would be men who are responsive to the things God brings to us. So let's go ahead and pray. You go first. I'll close.
Amen. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time to share with other men and others who are listening your word and our experiences. We're all sinners. We all need help. We're all miserable. But thanks to Jesus Christ, he helps us to be more like him. Thank you for Phil. Thank you for this podcast that is touching lives and helping others. For those listening, Lord, bless them. Those who are going on with you, help them to go on with you more. For those who are kind of not sure where they're at and need some help, as we all do, put your nugget and your seed inside of them. And again, thank you for this day, no matter when people are listening to it. And again, bless Phil, his ministry, and his family. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I also pray your blessing on Ramon and ask that you will use him to open doors for faith. We pray for his son. I pray, thank you, Father, that they are at least cordial. But I pray that for the day when his son returns to you. And we ask you for that, Lord God, that that day would come and that might be sooner than later. We also just pray for the influence that we can have through our lives, through our work. Lord, I pray that you would show us places that we need to get off the bench and start being a leader, start being the giver, the brother who gives. Lord, may we be those kind of men in the way that we live, not waiting for things to come for us, but stepping out into the uncomfortable storms and like Peter stepping out of the boat. You know, would we be those kind of men who are changing the world for you because you're changing us and you are leading us? So Jesus, we ask that even today, that you would show us something that we should go do, even right now after this episode's done. Show us, Lord, something we can go do today that will start us on this journey of being your lights for the rest of our days. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.